From America's frontier, Nebraska, it's the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham on News Talk 1240 KODY.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Jackson Ellis. He is the Hunter Safety Coordinator, Hunter Education Coordinator, I should say, is the official title for the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. Good morning, Jackson. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
Now, you're relatively new to that position, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yep. Started, it's been 2 years now, but relatively new, I'd say.
Right. And how are you liking it so far?
Oh, it's a great position to work in. I've been a big hunter all my life, so it's kind of a very good fit, and really enjoying it.
I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, but just in the little bit we've talked, I can tell that you're enthusiastic and passionate about what you do, and that's really what that position needs. So, way to go, man. You found your niche. Way to go.
Yeah, I just kind of lucky, I'd say, more than anything. Right place at the right time, and a lot of luck.
Happy
to be where I'm at.
Take those situations as they come and keep going.
Exactly, yep, that's life, right?
Now, as with Hunter Education, you know, our fall is coming, and we're actually only a little over a week away from the start of the first hunting season in Nebraska. So with Hunter Education, how are you dealing with that with the COVID-19 scenarios that we have to work with today? And what should a person look for? How do they get into a class? That type of thing.
Yeah. We've adjusted the program accordingly. We're taking steps for about 3 months. We weren't holding any in-classroom course. So, what we did was we made the online option more available and more easy to access for youth. So anyone who takes the online course right now, that subsequent two-hour session that is typically required has been waived, as long as they've started the course after March 20th. So we're still going to be – we started doing classroom courses again at the beginning of the month here. They're kind of in a limited capacity. You know, we're having to take into account some sanitation. You know, some classrooms they typically work just aren't going to anymore. We limited the class size to allow for spacing and stuff like that. We can't teaching aids and stuff like that. They've normally been able to just be passed around the classroom. We're having to be a little bit more creative on those. But the options are still out there, and so nobody should have to worry about getting their hunter safety done here before season starts.
Who, by law, I guess, has to have hunter education?
Sure. So in the state of Nebraska, it's required for anyone hunting between the ages of 12 and 29, okay? And then we also have firearm and bow hunter courses, so we're a little unique in Nebraska where we specify those two. So anyone hunting big game with a firearm, they fall within that age range, they have to have both either firearm or bow hunter education, depending on what type of equipment they're going out with.
And it's not just for younger people, kids, and, you know, up to the 29 years of age. It's something that everybody, every hunter should take, because if you ever want to go out of state to hunt, I can only think of two states that don't require you to have a hunter safety certificate.
Yeah, we get lots of people. You know, the bulk of the age group that we get is kind of that, you know, 12 to 14 year old age range. But we, our numbers show that we have people all the way up through 50s and 60s that take our course every year. So it's not, we get people that just want the knowledge. You know, let alone if they're going out of state, we get adults that come in. They may not have had the opportunity to go hunting when they were kids, with grandpa or with dad. And so, they're kind of starting at scratch, and hunter education is really the best place to start.
When my boys were young, of course, I got them into hunter education. Went with them, set in with them, and went through the course myself, because I knew I would be going out of state occasionally to hunt, And I knew that that provision was in most other state regulations that regardless of age, you had to have a hunter safety course. And they're, in general, they're all reciprocal. You know, Nebraska will accept anybody else's and vice versa.
It's really it's a neat program, a neat situation. But yeah, because of the there's a group called the IHEA, the International Hunter Education Association, and they, you know, we meet as a group a couple times a year and set standards and stuff like that. And those standards are what allow that course to transfer into any state.
Very good. Have you had a chance to go off to those conferences so far?
This year, but last year I was able to attend the one in. And unfortunately, I did not make it to the one the year before in Alaska. That kind of bummed me out.
Oh, man.
That, I know it.
Bummer.
I know it. I was just a couple months too late for the program.
You know, conferences like that, you know, I don't get to go anywhere like Alaska. Generally, it's like, well, you get to go to Chicago in January. Whoopee.
Right.
Oh, man, that was a bummer. But Florida wouldn't be too bad. Hopefully you got an extra day or so to just go enjoy some of their outdoors.
Yeah, it's neat. No, it's different down there. It's always neat to travel around and see what other people enjoy about the outdoors. It's definitely different in Florida than it is Nebraska. But
yeah. I've had a chance to hunt and fish in Florida a few times. And they are different, and like you said, everybody's outdoors is a little different, so if you're really into it, it's fun to go see. And it's probably one of the next places that comes to big fish. The next on the list is a Goliath grouper.
So
I want to hit that one. I had a chance a couple years ago to go out to Portland and fish the Columbia River and go for white sturgeon, which is the biggest freshwater fish we have. And had a good guide. They estimated my fish was 11.5 feet long and 830 pounds. So that it was worth the trip on that one.
I believe it. That's amazing.
For hunters,
that fish exists.
Oh yeah, and the age of that fish based on its size. It realistically, it could have been swimming around when Lewis and Clark went by.
Incredible.
It's just phenomenal to think that, and of course it was catch and release, and it's still out there somewhere.
That's amazing.
General hunter safety, you know, good practices, rules, regulations, what do we need to do?
Sure. I mean, if you really break it down to the very, very basic, you know, we stress with firearm safety, the big four is what we call it. Muzzle always pointed in a safe direction. That's first and foremost. Finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. You know, it's modern firearms are typically, unless there's a catastrophic malfunction, they're not going to go off unless the trigger's pulled. So finger off the trigger. You know, keep it unloaded until you're ready to use it. When you're transporting it, when you're in a vehicle, you know, keep it unloaded. And then always identifying your target and then what lies beyond it. So those are the big four rules that we really stress. You know, there's more than that. We get more specific, with the course, but, for the most part, you know, for firearm safety rules, it's going to keep everyone a lot safer. And Nebraska is an incredible state. I mean, we have had incredibly low incident numbers in the last 10 years. So it's really neat to watch.
We'll keep our fingers crossed that it stays that way.
Exactly. Yep.
The last item you mentioned on the big four there, the what is beyond the target, I think is so critical and thought of often enough. I know I have passed up shots in the past because they tended to be an uphill shot, and I had no idea what was on the other side of that hill.
Right, exactly.
Didn't want to run the risk of making a shot like that. That's something I think that needs to be very ingrained in a hunter's thought processes, and he's thinking about that all the time.
Yep, I know when we're setting up either a blind or whatnot, especially when we're doing youth hunts, we're pointing those things out to the kids. You know, we're talking to them about where a safe shot might be. where we would have to wait for a deer or a turkey or whatever we're hunting to move into a different position, and really starting to get, you know, get that thought process ingrained in them early, because it's in the heat of the moment, you know, when you're whatever's out in front of you, it's in the heat of the moment, it's easy to make a snap decision that you may not normally otherwise make. So vitally important to think about that constantly.
And the one there you mentioned just there about, you know, knowing where that muzzle is at all times.
Mm-hmm.
When I started my boys, you know, we're just shooting BB guns in the backyard type thing. The rule was we could go out and shoot, and we could shoot as much as they want, which at age six amounted to about 20 minutes. I wanted to do something else. But I said, as soon as you break a rule, we're done for the day. And my oldest boy was never an issue. He was very, very serious about it. My second son was a little more carefree, and there were some times we never even got out of the house before I pointed out to him, you know, where's the muzzle pointed? And it was not in a safe place, and we were done for the day.
He
still remembers that, so I guess we did okay.
Oh, yeah. My grandpa and father got me shooting when I was a kid, and grandpa was a Marine, and he was on the
Semper Fi.
Yep, exactly. So he was on the shooting team, and they traveled around, and so I was lucky enough to get exposed to it at a very young age, but safety was always first and foremost. You know, if just like you said, there are certain times that I vividly remember where I was about to break a rule or broke a rule, and let's just say I remember it.
Indelibly burned into your mind.
Exactly.
That's the way it should be. When it comes, you know, we're getting close to the hunting seasons we mentioned. You know, August 1st starts squirrel season. Are you a squirrel hunter yourself, or ever have a squirrel hunted?
I can't say I target them often. When I was a kid, I definitely did, especially on the acreage. I'm not a huge squirrel hunter, but I know a couple of people who that's what they do. That's what they live for. So
it can become a passion.
Yep. I know one guy who he takes hunting trips just to pursue different types of squirrels.
What would you have as a recommendation for somebody that says want a squirrel hunt? Right. What would you have as a recommendation for them to use as a gun? Be it a young kid or maybe just somebody new to the sport?
Right. I mean, a small gauge shotgun or a .22 rifle, you can't go wrong with. You know, the nice thing about squirrel hunting is that there's not a lot of equipment or necessary, you know, wisdom when you're hunting. You know, a simple firearm and a pair of hiking boots is all you really need.
That's true. Do you have when you did hunt, did you have a specific technique you like to do?
We had kind of a knoll on our property that you could see a lot of the ground and try to keep something in between me and the squirrel and get as close as I possibly could.
Very nice.
That was kind of my motive.
If I was hunting, you know, squirrel hunting, if I'm hunting with somebody else, we'll generally about 10 yards apart and one guy will move forward and then stop, and then the second guy will come up and go past him and stop again. And it's amazing how the squirrels will try to keep the tree between them and you. And sometimes when they're moving around that tree, the second hunter is the one that gets the shot.
That's a very good I know the guys at work, they talk about that quite often, about how those squirrels, they just have this almost sixth sense where they keep the tree in between you and them.
And then you're talking about your knoll on your acreage. I had a buddy that used to live down by Johnson, had some property there, and on the back part of the property there was a depression, and it was surrounded by big oak trees. So I would sneak in there a couple hours before daylight and full camoed and just bury myself in the leaves. And as the sun came up and the squirrels started moving around, I would just lay there and get my shots at them. And I generally used an air rifle for that hunt.
Yeah.
And it didn't make a lot of noise, and I could get six or eight, you know, whatever I wanted for the day. And have a good time. They never really figured out where I was until I left.
That's great. Yep, yep.
Now, when it comes to one of the first seasons I think of when trying to keep track of all your buddies and the hunter safety part really becomes important is the dove hunting season.
Yep.
September 1st, and then sometimes that can get pretty enthusiastic with the shooting.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Keeping track of where your partners are is paramount.
It is. It's very vital.
Any tips on, for a new hunter, how they would do that?
In groups like that, I recommend that people stay in a line. A line, for the human brain is just easy to keep track of. So if you can keep your group in as much of a straight line as you possibly can, whether it's dove hunting or pheasant hunting, upland birds, I recommend that as the best way to do it. And talk to each other. If you're close enough to where you can talk back and forth. That's key as well. Talk about where the birds are at as well, not just where your buddies are at, and when those birds might present a shot, a safe shot.
Very good. The background music tells me it's time for a commercial, but okay. Stay with us, and we'll have some more chatter right after we get done with that. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
George Washington, school named for George Washington, Washington Elementary, will also get its name changed. Now, never mind that George Washington was the father of our country, who led America through Revolutionary War that changed the world for the cause of liberty and freedom. Never mind that Washington did what few would do. He gave up power. They wanted to make him king. He said no. Never mind that Thomas Jefferson's role in writing the Declaration of Independence, his service as our first Secretary of State, or his own historic presidency. Both these guys were slaveholders, and that is enough reason to stamp out their names. Our history means nothing to leftists. The only thing that matters to them is erasing it. They don't know that they really can't.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. A few showers are possible in parts of the area today, mainly before noon. Otherwise, mostly sunny. Highs top out near 92 degrees. Wind south-southeasterly 10 to 15 miles per hour. Higher gusts possible. And then a slight chance for showers and storms tonight, mainly before midnight. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport, with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Jackson Ellis this morning, the Hunter Education Coordinator with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. Another season we're going to have coming up pretty soon, September, is turkey hunting season. And what are some of the safety issues you have to think about with turkey hunting?
Mm-hmm. The big one with turkey hunting is the use of decoys and calls, typically. That opens up a whole new topic we want to think about. Make sure when you're carrying those decoys in and out of the woods, they're a bag. I've got an orange strap that goes around my bag for my decoys. And just keeping an eye out for other people approaching. Keep in mind that when you're hearing a bird, it could potentially be another hunter. And then, like we talked about, those four rules, that last one, identify your target. Identify. That's the key that it all boils down to.
Now, nationwide, I read a statistic once that turkey hunting probably has more injuries to hunters than any other season, and it's just that reason. You don't identify your target. Somebody is shooting at sound or motion, and with a shotgun at reasonably close ranges, that can be a bad situation.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that's it all boils down to that identification. Take the time, stones or movement alone. You always need, you know, both safety and legally, you need to identify your target before swinging on it and pulling that trigger.
Right.
You know, once you've made that decision, you can't bring it back.
I was hunting in another state. Got your permit. On the permit, there was a little peel-off fluorescent orange dot that you were supposed to put on the back of your receiver. So when you aimed, your lower part of your vision, that orange dot would be there as a reminder to verify your target.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which I thought was pretty cool. And it, you know, it didn't write back off at a second reminder.
That is. That's interesting. I like that.
You may have to look at that one.
Yeah.
It was it was the state of Missouri that did it, so I don't know. Your contact in Missouri might be able to help you on that. But
I'll jot that down here. I like that.
What else do we got? We got about 6 minutes left to go in the show. So, you know, I know you're an archer. That's your primary way of going out and having fun in the woods, I think.
You bet. Yep.
That's another season.
Go ahead.
I said that's another season that'll be opening very soon.
You bet. Yep. That one's always on my calendar. As far as safety goes with archery, tree stands is the big one. Making sure that people are safe up there in the tree, wearing their full body, you know, harness, always being attached to the tree, climbing with those 3 points of contact. It's one of my favorite things to do, but also brings up, you know, other things you got to think about.
You mentioned tree stands, and statistically, that is the most dangerous thing in the timber. More injuries to hunters happen that way than any other way. And something a buddy of mine did some years ago, when I do my seminars and we get into this topic, and I say, you know, not only make sure your hunting stand is in good condition and things like that, but make sure the tree that you're attaching it to is good and solid.
Mm-hmm.
And where you're going to fall if you do. And the reason I did that is I had a friend of mine that was up in the tree in his, you know, hang on the side of a tree type stand, not a ladder stand or anything, just, and the wind was blowing and the tree fell. And where he fell was right on an old harrow. And it was like falling into a punji pit. He got harpooned in about 6 or 8 places. Nothing vital, though, and he totally recovered. But you got to think about stuff like that.
Wow. Yeah, that's a terrible one.
So, rifle season will come up with deer in November.
Yep.
And that's always one. You know, of course, with rifles, you have to be careful for a much longer distance. You cover a lot of ground.
Right, yep, that's, you know, we get big into, obviously, wearing your hunter orange during that time, and don't shoot skyline game, you know, that's a big one. If you can see blue sky behind that game animal, that's a shot that you should never take, especially with, you know, a high-power rifle, those bullets can travel further than you would think.
The blue sky reminded me of a hunting mantra with pheasant hunting that I picked up hunting up in South Dakota one time, and that is they had what they call, this was their governor's hunt, and they had what they call the blue sky rule. You did not shoot until you could see blue sky, and that way you made sure it was above everybody's head. And I thought that was a good reminder as well.
Yeah, we used to go to an outfitter outside of Pierre, and same thing, that was part of the speech every morning. Much different from upland birds with a shotgun to big game with a bow or rifle. You know, the rules change because, you know, the hunt changes, the firearms choice changes.
Right. Waterfowl is another, you know, with a shotgun, another one where sometimes you're in close proximity with other people and you got to be careful. So you got any thoughts or tips on that one?
Big one hunting with waterfowl, you know, we do that quite a bit, get a good group of buddies together. It's more of a social hunt, so I really enjoy that. But the zones of fire, that's the big one with waterfowl. When you're that close to people, you know, if you imagine a 45-degree zone in front of you, that's kind of your cone of safe shooting. And as soon as you swing beyond that is when you get into your buddy's lanes and it's an unsafe situation.
Potential problems, yes.
Yep.
We're about out of time, sir, but I sure appreciate you taking the time to be on the show with me. Looking forward to meeting you someday. And if you ever get out this way, let me know.
I definitely will. I definitely will. I appreciate the time. And half hour flew by.
Yes, it did. We'll definitely have you on again, Jackson. Count on it.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.